Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Finale Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Amy, I'm ready to hop in our Fred Flintstone car and just get on out of here.
Taxi on into 2021.
Hallelujah, baby.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're so close. We can almost taste it.
Yes. And this was a lot to cover, a huge finale. So we couldn't do it alone.
There's nobody I'd rather help us cover one of the craziest finales than our dear friend, Shannon Gates / Gus. Shannon, what's up?
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here for so many reasons. Firstly, I love the season. Just loved it. I'm so hyped to talk about it. I'm really excited to chat to both of you again. But also, the listeners may not know that we had a bit of like a me being on the Bachelor feed curse happening, where the first podcast we did, the three of us, had to be postponed because Amy was in like a tornado or something.
Yeah,
and then the second one that you and I did, Haley, I had to postpone. It's the only podcast I've ever had to postpone because I had vertigo, which was so random. I've never had vertigo before or after. It was just a weird day. And I could not stop vomiting. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but for this third podcast, I was like a little worried about you, Haley. I was like, you're the
one.
What happened to you in the next 24 hours? But you're here and you're well, and I'm so excited about that.
Oh my gosh, knock on wood. Maybe yeah. It's an after podcast thing.
Well, we did it.
I'm nervous now.
Yeah. Yeah. But definitely like watch out. In the next, like just, you know, watch out for like corners or something.
Yeah. Don't eat anything COVID. Strange.
Oh my God.
I'm very. I'm
excited to be. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so Shannon, I've been lucky enough to talk to you a few times this year so far. It's actually only been within the last like 4 months, but it feels like 45 years, I'd say. We talked about the premiere of Bachelor Australia. We talked about the finale of Bachelor Australia. We're here to talk about the finale of Bachelor USA. But first, Shannon, I'm dying to get you to tell me what happened this season on The Bachelorette Australia. I heard it was kind of crazy, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it. So
fast forward, people, if you don't want to know.
That's what happened.
Okay, anyone who wants to fast forward because they don't want to spoil it for them, like, let me just tell you, like, don't watch it. Like, let me spoil it for you. It was just so bad. Like, every way that this season was great, Tayshia's season, I feel like, was the opposite on Australian Bachelorette in that, like, they didn't really seem to have extreme feelings. The guys didn't really seem to have, like, no one said I love you, whereas I feel like Tayshia had a lot of love in her heart, and like I think 8 guys were pretty much in love with Tayshia, and that intensity of the feeling was so interesting to me. Whereas like Australian Bachelor was like, you seem okay, I guess. It was so not intense. I didn't feel like the leads were very dynamic in a way that like Claire was obviously like super entertaining, and Tayshia was just like solid gold. And then so it was two sisters, and Becky, her winner, broke up with her after 3 days.
What?
And I know. And I was like, what a waste of time this has been. Even me in lockdown, with where my time was so not valuable, I felt like cheated. And then she like tried to go back to her runner up, who also broke up with her after 3 days.
What? Yeah,
I know. It's awful. And then Ellie, she's not even with her guy anymore. Like, it's been 2 months and they're not even. So really a waste of time and like no intense feelings and just a bad season of television, very much the opposite of how I felt about the season of the US Bachelorette.
Wow. 3 days has to be some kind of record.
No, it's very upsetting, isn't it? Yeah. It happened to her twice with both of the final two.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that you liked this season at least.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm just feeling really excited about this finale. It was just strange to think about how we started on Monday night, that it was fantasy suite week, to get to the finale, and no after the final row. So a little bit different than a typical season. Haley, how were you feeling about this sort of condensed final week? Were you happy to kind of trim the fat, or did it feel too rushed to you?
No, I thought it was great. I do wish we maybe had like a 5-minute catch up with expectations, Zach. But I didn't miss an hour long after the final rose. I don't really feel like I needed to hear from Ben, Brendan, or Ivan, like, not desperately. I don't know. I felt like that the mental all was kind of a little bit of a waste of time. Mm. But I really liked this finale. I gotta say, I liked being in one spot all season.
Okay, interesting. Shannon, how about you?
I also liked it. Like, I felt that it definitely showed that you don't need to be gallivanting around the world to make good TV. It's very much about, like, the leads and the casting, which I think were both stellar this season. And I think it did kind of, like, some of the dates were really, really stupid, let's be honest. Mm. But I think it was more focused on, okay, let's have, like, a really deep conversation. And I think Tayshia was really good at having those deep conversations and bringing it out of people, but also maybe the environment put more of a focus on that. And that's why the connections felt so real and so earned, because it was kind of that intense and deep. So I didn't have any issue with them not leaving La Quinta, is it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the season. I haven't watched all of the US shows, obviously, and I've come back to it now because I was in lockdown and because the Claire stuff seemed really crazy. But I just love the season basically beginning to end, and I have no complaints. It's not a concern to me that they didn't leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there was too much that I missed. Haley, like you mentioned, the mental all seemed kind of a waste. So some of those restrictions because of when they had to film it, where they had to film it, and who they could invite with the timing, I think was a loss. And yeah, some of the dates were pretty lame. But as far as like things that I thought I would miss, like the hometown dates and meeting the family, you don't need those to happen in these other locations. And a lot of these dates were similar to a date you might have across the world. So and then I felt like for the fantasy suite, like we didn't need to see them on a yacht or something like that. Those were always kind of filler. So we still saw the dinner conversations and the kind of things that we needed to see. The one thing I will say is that I miss seeing like a second one-on-one date with these final four, which we typically would see at least a couple more more significant dates before it's fantasy suite week. So I feel like we didn't get to know them as much as we could have, at least some of them. So that's the only thing I probably would say is a drawback for me. But Tayshia played it off really well. I didn't feel like she was stir crazy at all. The guys probably were, having gone through two seasons essentially. But yeah, I think she seemed to thrive, and obviously with her happy ending. So, all right, let's get into, if we can, remember back to where we started early in the week. It's the fantasy suite week, so we're down to Ivan, Brendan, and Zach. And she starts off with Ivan, and they're going for a world record, the world's longest, coldest kiss. Shannon, what do you think about this first part of the date?
I felt like this was the worst date ever until I saw Brendan's date, and I was like, oh, all right, that's worse. I feel like, were the dates this week, like, competing to be, like, the most terrible?
Yeah.
Awful date. I wouldn't do it. There's so many things that come up on The Bachelor where I'm like, if I was a contestant, I'd just be like, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting into this ice bath. But saved by Big Paulie, I feel like Big Paulie was, like, the unsung hero of this date. And I looked up who Big Paulie is.
Okay.
Has Big Paulie been on the show before now? Because you guys are the experts. Was this his debut on the show?
I feel like I've seen him, like, escort people out. Haley, does that ring a bell?
I have no recollection of this.
I think, like, when there's, like, a drunk guy or something. But I don't remember, like, him being named or anything. So, he made his debut.
Like, he's a stagehand / security. And I just had to wonder, I'm like, we saw JoJo there earlier that day. I was like, why is JoJo not doing this? Like, why is it Big Paulie? Why does Chris say to Big Paulie, you were an orphan boy who was found on a glacier? Like, I thought he was great. Like, no complaints about how Big Paulie was doing, but I just have so many questions about why this was happening.
I always have a lot of questions about why anything is happening on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did bring out another side of humor to Chris Harrison, I think. And that's another thing I don't really miss. I don't miss, like, bringing in these random experts. They can just get somebody from the staff to sit there, and works just as well. So, yeah, I think the commentary is pretty fun. And then, yeah, The Bachelor just loves these kind of random world records. I don't know if this ever gets published anywhere. I don't know who would have held this record before or if it's a new thing they created, but yeah, 7 minutes in an ice bath. They were able to hold the kiss. Shannon, how have you felt about Ivan overall?
I think I'm going to sound like a broken record in terms of these guys because I genuinely love the whole Final Four so much. And I think Tayshia had a pretty good group, but she also chose so well. And I think it was kind of getting down to the heart of the matter and not necessarily like choosing kind of the, like the boldest personality or maybe like just finding the, just like the beauty and the magic and more quiet personalities or people who had like really a story to tell. So I love her Final Four and Riley, who I consider her Final Five because she kind of had the conversation with him. Were all amazing. And I love Ivan in that. I feel like for Tayshia, for me of the Final Four, he seemed the least connected to her and she to him. I was surprised he didn't go last week. Just because he always felt like a step behind her. Like it, he'd be like, I really like her when the other guys were saying, especially Zach was like, I'm falling in love. And Ben. And then when he was falling in love, the others were like, I love you. So he always seemed like a step behind to me in terms of his feelings. And he's probably maybe the least experienced in relationships of those Final Four guys, certainly compared to like Brendan and Zach. But in terms of Ivan, like I'd love to see him on the franchise again. I think he could be even a great bachelor. Like he's just so intelligent. He has this like quiet confidence about him that I really love. Like my mom and I always say he's a chup, which is Yiddish, like he's a catch. So I'm very much a big fan, but I still think for her, he wasn't her guy.
How do you feel about Ivan leaving the way he did?
To jump ahead, it's like she pulled him aside when it was down to the final three and, you know, sits on the bench with him, and we kind of learned something that happened during the fantasy suites, a conversation that we didn't get to see about religion. And I don't really have any background on, I don't know if either of you have seen anything that's come out about that, but yeah, how do you feel about that?
I do know Tayshia is religious, and that is something that I feel like has come up in the past, maybe not like overtly, but I think that's maybe one reason her and Colton got along so well is they're both super religious. I saw Ivan say that he was going on Caitlin Bristow's podcast to kind of talk about it. That was going to be one of the subjects they talk about. But basically, it boiled down to Tayshia is very religious. She needed her partner to also be religious. And Ivan doesn't have any issue with religion, but it's not something that particularly calls to him.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's her prerogative. Like, that's totally fair. And I think that we've seen, even like with like, I know politics, religion, very different, but I think that you need to have those same values. And we've even seen like Becca and Garrett break up recently because it's really crazy to me to at least to date someone or be engaged to someone or married to someone who has opposite values to you.
But I'm really impressed that we may not have seen the conversation in the fantasy suite, but I'm really impressed that they had it. Sure, we're missing some context for the television show, that sucks, but for them, in real life, for the relationship, I am glad they had that conversation. I'm glad that that is something, an agreement they reached. I'd say I didn't totally, I think she just maybe didn't phrase it super well, but I didn't love that Tayshia was like, well, my morals are like based on, I don't even think she said like my morals are based on religion, but it kind of felt like she was saying that only like religious people have morals. Maybe I'm just kind of like misreading that because I really don't think that's what she meant. It was just not my favorite, but again, as somebody, I'm not like super religious, so that's not something like that draws me, I guess. But I appreciate that she was like willing to send him home over this. When we saw last season Peter being like, yeah, I can probably get down with this religion thing for Maddie when like, boy,
yeah. It's not like a TV show that you're like it's religion, like you're in or you're out already. Like it's nice to be open to it for your partner, but like it's also nice to know that you have your own values and beliefs and those are important, and sometimes they don't connect with someone that you love or have feelings for, and that's really valid.
But if that's something that Tayshia requires in a relationship, then yeah, like you said, Shannon, that's her prerogative. All the power to her then.
Yeah, I totally
thought that staying with somebody for 3 years or 2 years that like is very clear that you don't have a consistent basis of ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I thought it was fine for her to do that. Again, her prerogative, important as well. Like she knows her values as she should, and she should be with someone who, if that's important for them to share those values for her, that's so valid. But I had a few questions. My first being like, how are we only hearing about this in the finale? Like that feels like a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. If she only wants to be with a Christian, apparently, like that's maybe a reason she got rid of a lot of people.
True.
I feel like this is something we should have known. And if it had been her pool of guys, maybe something that would have been a deal breaker in the casting pool as well. I also felt like what was going to happen before Ben came back? Like, was she going to, she said, I'm going to have a rose ceremony because I care about both these guys. Right. And basically to affirm that, was she going to like break up with Ivan at the proposal site and be like, you know, 10 days ago in Showtime, you told me that you're not religious. He'd be like, why am I still here if that was a deal breaker then? So I was confused about that. So those two things. And then I'll talk a little bit about like my biggest issue with Tayshia as a bachelorette, which is that I feel like she puts too much on the guys, but it was less so here. And I'll talk about it more with, I think, Ben, but I still felt like, is this the reason she's getting rid of him? It probably is relevant, but I still just never felt like Ivan was her guy. I felt like she did feel more for even Ben and definitely more for Zach. So the religion thing is valid, but it also could have just been like, I feel less for you. And that like my heart is with someone else and that's fine too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was like a little clip of her going around when she was on Ellen and saying like quick answer, rapid fire questions to like, who's the best kisser? And she didn't list Ivan. She listed Ben and Zach and like Blake or like some random. And Brendan. So it could be like a chemistry thing. And maybe she didn't want to say like that was a factor as well. But I think she just like really respected him, loved their like connection, but it wasn't maybe a strong romantic connection.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think she appreciated finally having somebody who kind of knew her background and could understand where she was coming from. But yeah, I just don't think they had the chemistry. I kind of felt that all along. But I really like Ivan. I'm glad he was on our TVs, and I hope he will be again soon. Did you guys think maybe she broke up with him because he looked too much like her brother?
Oh my gosh, I did think her brother was really cute.
Same, and I was like, oh, she's like bachelor potential, right. But yeah, that could be a factor that she was like, wait, I don't want this family meeting to happen because it'll be like a little too glaring. It's funny.
I feel like we kind of skipped past Brendan. I thought he was the front runner going into the finale. Mm-hmm. I was pretty surprised to see him leave on his own in this episode.
Yeah.
But good for him. Ethan asked me, do you think this means he was only there for television and that when he got to this point, it felt too real. So he kind of had to get out of it.
You know, I listened to an interview with him on the Ben and Ashley I podcast, and it was interesting. Like, he was somebody that didn't watch the show. And when he talked about like that, he was in all these conversations with producers and saying like, well, if I ask her, like, you know, do you just want a date after this or something? So I think they had a clue that that was his intention. I think they definitely guided his decision. The way he talked about it wasn't like that he was upset with them, but just that he wanted Tayshia to have what she wanted because they were kind of telling him, you know, that Tayshia is here to get married, that once, you know, that's not good for either of you. He also talked about how they knew each other for a month. So this is really like half the time that, you know, he's the first one I heard that really specified the timing of it and that how he felt really good about their first one-on-one. And he, you know, that was early on. He was the first one, thought he could see that future progressing, and then was kind of disappointed that he didn't get really much more time with her. He didn't get another one-on-one. And so I think realizing that he was already at the fantasy suite dates at that point, he knew that he wasn't going to propose and didn't want to do that to her. And kind of, you could also kind of see when the three of them were all sitting there, because they did that move again where the guys are all together, waiting for their date cards for the fantasy suites, but sort of seeing where Zach was at and where Ivan was at, I think influenced him as well, it sounded like. So I think if it was somebody else, I would question that, like, oh, he's here for exposure or whatever, but he didn't seem like all that interested in Paradise. It didn't seem like, he didn't strike me like that. I think it was like a realization over the course of the very short time period they had.
Yeah, I mean, if I am wrong about these guys, and I could be naive, like, I love them and think that they're so genuine, and these final four, and Riley, my favorite five, and I thought it was great, but so genuine, and I really bought into his incredibly real hang-ups here. Like, the guy has been married, I don't think it was that long, he's had to get engaged, which is so unnatural, like, really, I mean, that's not really a thing that happens in the Australian show, if we've discussed the fact that they have to get engaged. And Chris Harrison is like, if you're not ready to get down on one knee, like, leave now. And then he has this horribly triggering date. I want to get into why I hated this date for so many reasons. It was like, I've ever seen. Not even just because it was manipulative. It was just a bad date anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think that pressure on him is a very valid feeling to feel. And I think that maybe if this was a different world and it wasn't on The Bachelorette and it wasn't so public, like, he just meets Tayshia out in the world, they could have had like a really good relationship in a normal time frame where he is still healing and he is still kind of growing from his past relationship and doing it with her. I'm a really big advocate for that, as someone who was in a 5-year relationship and 2 weeks and 2 months later was with my now husband. And for a lot of the early stages of that relationship was like still healing, but like with him and his support. So I'm a big advocate of the fact that you can do that. I just think that
I agree with you there, Shannon. I think
if you can't, I'm sorry, because my whole relationship is a lie.
but I do feel like if they had met IRL, mm-hmm. they would be able to have just kind of an actual relationship on an actual timeline, because not only is like The Bachelor in general quick, this season was segmented. So I think Tayshia's time was even less than a usual amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It felt long to me, maybe because her connections with these guys felt so real. Maybe because there was so much less emphasis on, now we're traveling. Like, it was like a month, but we're all in this place. Like, let us get down to it. Mm-hmm. But I can see for him, if it was maybe even the Australian show where it was like, you're leaving with your girlfriend and there isn't this pressure that you have to propose and we're not at the spring store for this horrible, horrible date, you know, possibly that's fine for him. But like, his mind frame is correctly, I have to propose. I don't even know how much of that was coming from Tayshia, but definitely from the show, I have to do this. And I feel like it's so fair of him to be like, I can't. And to be fair to you, I'm not. So I don't feel like it was him being like, now I'm at final three, I'll see you as the next Bachelor. Like, I don't see him as that person. I really do think that he came there for love and that it was just too much once he got that real. And to talk about like Tayshia in this regard, I think this goodbye to me proved that Brendan was not Tayshia's guy. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, she was upset, but I don't think she was as upset. I think with Brendan and Ivan,
she was more upset about Blake leaving, which was a shocker.
Yes, she cried more for Blake. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah,
I cannot. She seemed to like burn fast and bright with both Brendan and Ivan. I think they both got very early one-on-ones for her. Obviously, Brendan got the first. I think Ivan had one the next week, and she had those deep connections with them really quick. Where with Zach and Ben, I felt like those relationships really blossomed and grew instead of starting like from a really high point and kind of petering off. Like, Ben and Zach started, you know, medium ground and then really built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did hear Tayshia say like that every day she would think about that. It's Brendan. And, you know, we didn't really get, there could be context there. Like, maybe that was like the first couple of weeks or something, but I think I agree with you, Haley, that maybe it was hard for her to like shift her perspective. And, you know, when you think like you have an impression of somebody and you think that it's going to go a certain way. But I think by the point that he eliminated himself, like, she was sad about it, but I think she knew where her decision was going to be anyway. So maybe it just made it easier for her.
I hate to police reactions to things and kind of judge like what is a subjective thing, but Just like even I this is a season I didn't watch, but I've watched YouTube clips and I even rewatched it last night with Desiree. Mm-hmm. When she
gets dumped by Brooke,
the final three. And like she is distraught. Like she is losing her person. She did end up, I think, getting engaged and is still with the guy and married with kids. But like this to me, it just wasn't the same level of reaction. Even like thinking of someone like Rachel, who I remember saying goodbye to Peter because he wouldn't propose, and she was also devastated, distraught, to like another level of like heartbreak to this that I feel just judging it on that reaction, even though she then did get engaged to Brian and is married to him now. But I think that she didn't, not that she said, I don't want to have to fight for someone to love me again, but I feel like if Brendan had been a guy, like at least a question would have been asked, like, are you worried to propose or is it me? Like, would you be happy to leave here as a couple but not engage? Like, you're the person I want. What can I do to make this work? Like, she didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he'd been her guy, she would have done that. So I was a bit confused by it because she had been saying like, oh, I could see myself ending up with him. I was like, why aren't you more upset? Mm-hmm. Why do you feel like more blasé talking to Rachel the next day that you're just kind of happy you got the information instead of like broken and confused about how this ended up? And I think it all made sense by the end when she didn't end up with Zach. I was like, oh, Zach was her guy. And I think he was the front runner. So I feel like while Brendan maybe might have come second and it was still sad to lose him there and he might have had a chance, like Zach, I feel, was very much out in front. And that's why we didn't see her just like fall on her sword, ask him the questions, at least do something to try and kind of changed this course. And she just very much let it happen, was upset, but let it go. And I think to me that really proved that while I did always see something between her and Brendan, like he just wasn't the guy for her.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say that my favorite moment though of this date, I do agree that it was a terrible date to put anyone through, but I loved Brendan having absolutely no idea who Neil Lane was. That was worth it to me. You knew that he hasn't watched the show at all.
Yeah. That's why it was such a bad date to me. Like, it wasn't, like, it was triggering, but also, like, it was so boring. And it was so awkward that they were, like, entertaining this, like, casual acquaintance, like, who was Neil Lane. And, like, there was no excuse for them to be flirty or physical like the other dates. There wasn't really even an excuse for them to talk to each other. They were just talking to Neil Lane. Like, if I was there, it wouldn't just be, like, I'm triggered by trying on these engagement rings. This is so manipulative. Get me out of here. It would also be, like, I don't care about your relationship with Sean Lowe, Neil Lane. I want to talk to Tayshia. Like, this is crucial time. Why are you here? So I just thought this was, even compared to the, like, ice bath and caravan date, which I was, like, did think was the worst it could get. I thought this was so much worse. And I felt so bad for Brendan that this jewelry try-on date was his final date. It was awful.
Yeah. That was definitely a first. We haven't seen one quite like that before.
Hopefully it's a last too.
We didn't talk about the Airstream. Were you guys a fan of the Airstream for
Ivan? Yeah, I think it was cute. I don't know, a lot of people were like, how dare they give Ivan a trailer, but it's not a trailer, it's like a $50,000 Airstream.
Yeah. I would not have liked this. I that is not my vibe. It was cramped. Is there a bathroom in there? It was not my idea of a good time. Like, very much.
Sure,
like
I'd prefer the loft, sweet. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, I would probably wouldn't no. say no.
I would
probably
say
wouldn't
no.
break up with a guy over it.
I would be like, I'm not sleeping the night in this caravan.
Yeah.
I want to go. We're in a literal resort with like thousands of rooms. I will go into any of the rooms, but I'm not doing this in this caravan.
Yeah, I mean, and I even talked about how they like stayed up outside eating the donuts, drinking the champagne, watching the sunrise. So I think they didn't spend much time in there.
Yeah, because it was terrible.
Yeah, I think it was good for the scenery, like to make it look like something different on set. But other than that, like there was no like clearance to even get off the bed in that room. Like they couldn't even film anything there.
I have a question for you guys, though, as the experts, because I enjoyed seeing the guys all together in between this. I know that it was probably due to some sort of necessity because they are all in this, you know, in this resort and they can't leave. But they were all very respectful, I felt, and just made me love them more. But then I was like, do they really leave in the middle? Like, no, do they really leave, like, immediately after the other one comes back? Because they're all wearing the same clothes. I was like, there's no way, surely, that Tayshia wakes up with Ivan.
Right.
And then 10 minutes later is with Zach. Like, there must be, like, a day in between. Please.
Yeah, I always thought there was at least one day in between.
So I think what they do is, like, maybe they gather before, like, say Zach's leaving on his date, and they gather, and he's in the outfit, and they gather before and say, like, but yeah, they show,
but it made,
like,
it seem like Ivan had just come
walked
back.
In.
Like,
yeah.
I hope it's pretending and just fake, because that weird, like, the whole fantasy suite thing weirds me out. And, like, my cousin has now got into the Bachelor franchise through the Australian one. So this was her first American season. And she was, like, very uncomfortable by the idea of the fantasy suite, because we don't have that. And it's, like, this very, it's a lot that the Americans do this. It's still, like, something I'll never fully be comfortable with. Like, it just feels like such an intimate thing to be doing, like, within 3 days of each other, all of these people. I don't know if that's, like, the prude in me, or it's like, it will never not be strange to me.
Right.
The fantasy.
And we feel the same way. Like, it's not something that
I would
we
just
would be
so
into.
Exhausted. I'm so tired of, like, talking to people.
I know. I was like, did she stay up all night with Ivan and now have to have a whole day and night? Like, you can't function that way.
No, I'm too tired always.
And this is only the second time they've done that, where, like, they have the three people all together. It used to be after hometowns, you don't see anyone again until the rose ceremony. And then with Peter's season, it was like, ooh, the drama. Let's just, like, make Maddie have to deal with this and see the other women, which is really unfair. I didn't mind it so much this time because we know they're all together and the guys were much more respectful. But it was still, it's still awkward.
Yeah, there were two moments there. Like, firstly, when Brendan had to read Zach's date card, which was let's explore each other, I was like, he wasn't enjoying that.
No.
And then, like, Zach's trademark New York wit, where he's like, I like Ivan. Like, I'd let my sister date him. I'm not so sure about my girlfriend, though. I thought it was a great line.
Yeah.
I also like that the guys, especially at this point, really seem to just enjoy each other.
Yeah.
Mm.
For sure.
Yeah.
What did you think about Zach's date? The exploring was painting on a canvas, something I think we've seen in Paradise before. So that was the first part.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen a lot of people say that this was all very Carly and Evan themed, because they had a record-breaking kiss and then they did the painting, which is crazy considering I saw the news today that Carly and Evan split
up. That's the news alert. Yep, breaking news.
Yeah.
I was shocked, Haley, when you texted me this.
I was shocked too. I couldn't believe it.
This is the second.
I feel like it's been rumored in Bachelor Nation that they have not been doing super well for a while.
Okay.
But I didn't really think they'd pull the trigger, just because, like, it sounds terrible. But being a couple in Bachelor Nation is such a big moneymaker.
Mm.
But also, they have two young kids. Carly and Evan, but especially Carly, like, she'll still be able to make money from this, right? She's got over a million Instagram followers, I think, and she'll be fine, surely.
Right. But yeah, they were kind of the identity was, like, the two of them. Like, they were kind of that odd couple that made it work from Paradise. So now, like, the franchise won't have that story to say, like, oh, like, you could be the next Carly and Evan, where you don't like each other at first. And yeah,
it's then you do like each other for a really long time and have two kids, but then you don't like each other again.
Right.
Yeah. But Zach's date I really enjoyed, because I loved Tayshia and Zach, and I'll probably go on about it at a point. But the thing that stood out to me in this date was it was the only date of the three that actually gave them alone time in the day part, which was like a virtue at this point. Like, they didn't have to do it in front of Big Paulie, which would have been Big Paulie's just, like, standing while they're painting each other. And they didn't have Neil Lane there to try and, like, make, you know, awkward small talk with. So they could at least just, like, just kind of lie there and talk about their perfect day together. And it gave them an excuse to be really physical. Like, it was definitely the ugliest painting I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I think that just kind of having that really flirty, fun time was very important and great for them compared to the other two dates.
Yeah, this was where I started to be like, because I always like to be kind of surprised at the end. But it was just like, okay, they said, he said, I know that I love you. And she said, I love you too. Mm-hmm. They talked about, I never felt this way before. And she said, I'm just so happy. So I was like, wait, like, this, like, can't be going anywhere else. I was a little disappointed just from that. I was a little confused at this point. I was like, normally we wouldn't really see this. Or I'm just so used to the structure of, like, the lead saying something similar to two people or something. So, but I guess at this point, this was before Ben was showing back up. So I guess when Ben showed back up, it brought a little bit of doubt. Like, but not too much in my opinion, but it just, the way they expressed their feelings just didn't seem like there was, and that Tayshia was reciprocating it on screen. It didn't seem like it could really go anywhere else at the, after this point, but I wasn't seeing it as much before this. So Shannon, were you like calling Zach from earlier on?
Yeah, I think I was seeing Zach for most of this time as her person. Mm-hmm. I just felt like their connection was so real. I felt like the whole thing was like, she wants a grown man, right? And like, mm-hmm. Zach is such a self-actualized person, like the only kind of self-actualization I think you get from like years of working on yourself, which he's obviously done. I mean, like the maturity that he showed, like I just felt, as much as I could see, there was great chemistry with Brendan, and they obviously have been through similar things. I felt a huge connection with Ben as well. Like, those are really my three. I did think for Zach that I was seeing it for a long time, and something like this just really cemented it for me. But even before, when after the lie detector, he said that he was falling for her, and I think he said it first and she said it back, like, I just felt like he was the guy for her. And these two episodes, I think, made that so clear, to the point where I feel like he was more of a front runner than I realized. And I just, yeah, fooled myself, because I love these four guys so much that I thought it was close. But it was very much Zach and Tayshia in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely in hindsight. I mm-hmm. felt like it wasn't there for me in foresight.
Right.
I don't know. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Tayshia ended up with Zach, I would have been like, what? How? And I like Zach, and I like his journey. And you're right, Shannon. I think he has this really wonderful maturity, and he knows who he is, and he's honest and brave. And it's a really lovely relationship. I really didn't expect that this is where we're going to end up.
Can I explain why thinking about Zach and Tayshia makes me cry every time I think about it? Before we get to the proposal.
You messaged me last week, or I had messaged you to see if you still wanted to do the finale with us. And you said, yeah, I've watched Monday's episode, but I haven't watched Tuesday's yet. And I've cried the whole time. I'm like, well, buckle up, babe. You're going to be crying. I sobbed the entire time.
Yeah,
that was hometowns. When she sent Ben home, it was between Ben and Brendan. And my mom and I were both so emotional. And then we were just like holding hands. Just, so much to take, because Ben, like, how much he's been through, like, for that, my heart was breaking. But in terms of, I've cried way too much in The Bachelorette these last few episodes. But in terms of, like, Zach and Tayshia, and I know that Zach seems the most polarizing, possibly, of her final four guys, and some people don't see it. So I'm just going to try to give my perspective to hope people kind of see what I see. But I kind of feel like this season, for me, the theme of it was about, like, how do you kind of work through and build up through past baggage and past trauma? And, like, Tayshia and a lot of her final guys kind of had these negative experiences, but were all these, like, incredible people. And it's not like, oh, you're incredible because your life has been all, like, rainbows and butterflies. It's like, no, you've actually really been through it, but you've stared it down and you've looked at the adversity in the face and you've, like, conquered it. And now you're, like, the best version of yourself. And that's what I love, like, hearing these stories from these guys and from Tayshia. And the reason I love Zach and Tayshia is I feel like they kind of personify that together. Like, they've met perfectly for me on their journey. It's like this perfect intersection where, for Tayshia, like, her baggage and her problems in the past have been that now she's been hurt. She needs to, like, take a leap through the fear and the pain to kind of love again. And she did it by coming on the show. Like, she bravely really did that, which is a hard thing to do when you've been so hurt. And then I love that Zach is her guy, because I feel like he will always kind of catch her in that leap, because she's scared that someone will run away when it gets hard. And, like, her ex-husband's interviews about, like, oh, it wasn't really working, so I cheated. Isn't that fine? No,
like, it's her fault I cheated.
Yeah, like, it was. Like, it got a little hard. Like, isn't that? But Zach will never run. And he kind of said as much to her that, like, he's been through it. He's been through everything, and he's done his running.
Yes. He posted something that I thought was really moving on Instagram the other day. He posted a picture with a woman named Rhonda, and he explained his story with Rhonda was that, you know, 9 years ago or whatever, he went into the bank. He had stolen a stack of checks from his dad, and she could have called the police on him, knowing that he was forging these checks, but it's instead, she called his dad, and his dad was able to show up because Zach had been missing for 3 days. And then he was able to go get help, and now he is where he is on his journey. And I thought that was just a really sweet and honest thing to put online. And yeah. I don't know, I just seeing somebody who has had such a real issue in their life was, and seeing where they are now was really, really beautiful and something we don't see on The Bachelor very often. I thought this season was full of them. I think skewing the cast older was really vital to what I feel like made the season successful, which was a lot of strong men who were sure in themselves and weren't playing games and weren't there to mess around.
Yeah, and I think that Zach, I mean, he kind of personifies the theme himself, that his story gives me chills every time. The fact that he had a brain tumor, which led to all of this, I mean, it's, so much of it is just chilling. And so if Tayshia is scared about guys running when it gets hard, like, she's found someone who does not run when it's hard, and he will always catch her when she kind of takes that leap of faith. So that's why I love them together. I think that they have done the work to heal themselves enough to that they could get to this point. He healed himself that he's even here, which is a miracle in and of itself. She healed herself to the point where she could do this, come on and be the Bachelorette and put herself out there when she's been hurt. And in doing that, they like met each other, and they will continue to heal each other through that. So that's why I really love them as a couple. And I just think they're just a beautiful love story, and I actually will not recover ever if they don't make it. Like, they, to me, they have to be end game. Like, I'm looking forward to the wedding TV special. I would watch it.
Before we get too deep, before we get into the proposal, can we talk about Ben? So Ben came back.
Yeah. At what point, Haley, did you know that Ben was coming back? Because I asked you last week and you didn't think he would.
When she was like, come to the rose ceremony.
What about, so for me, it was when Rachel was like, let's talk about the other guys like that didn't make it, that you let go of. Because Rachel Lindsay showed up as another person to kind of talk with her. Yeah, he showed back up. I don't think they have far to go. They probably, you know, they're just staying at La Quinta. So,
like, where are these guys coming back from? Is that just like a stable where all the guys go into and they just like let them out to knock on Tayshia's door every 3 days? Like, what is happening?
Right. Yeah, I don't think they ever left. We see him go to Chris Harrison first. So they filmed that. And of course, Chris is going to let him come back. How did you feel about Shannon Tayshia's reaction to seeing Ben? Because I just thought she looked pissed.
Yeah, I didn't love a lot of this from Tayshia. Again, I think she's been an amazing bachelorette. She's gotten stuff out of these guys that most others couldn't. She is someone that's obviously so easy to fall in love with, and they all did. But a couple of things he made me uncomfortable. The first is this kind of consistent thing with her, in that she puts too much on the guys. Like, if you notice from Tayshia, she never says, my heart was just with someone else, my feeling. Like, she never puts it on herself, which is very valid for her to do. My feelings aren't just aren't strong with you. I think she's trying to prevent the guy from being hurt. So she gives these like small little justifications for why it's not working, but it always puts it on the guy. Like with Riley, it was like, he didn't open up quick enough. He didn't have the time. With Blake, it was like, well, you mentioned that it was, you know, that you were still into Claire, so I put my walls up. Now Blake, for the rest of his life, will curse that he mentioned Claire, when like clearly her guy wasn't Blake. Like, just say that.
Right.
And I think she did that with Ben here, where she was like, basically, like, you didn't open up enough to me. And it's like, well, Ivan and Brendan had also not really given her a lot of their feelings at that point. And she kept Brendan, who was the least likely to propose. So, like, she's willing to take you with the hang-ups, with the issues. And when she doesn't, like, there must be other bigger reasons for that. But she continues to put it on the guys. And even later, when she gets rid of Ben for the second time, she's like, well, we missed that crucial time, that, like, pivotal date. It's like, and again, that's your fault because you didn't open up. Like, you put it all on Ben, and I feel like that is unfair.
Yeah, I felt like she was the hardest on Ben out of any of the guys for really kind of saying it's all on him. But I don't really feel like that was the case. I don't think that I feel like she was sure that she was picking Zach, so I don't think she should have brought Ben back, especially after he came and said, I love you. People were saying online that this might have been manipulative, or, you know, some guys just, it it's not great to set a precedent of, you know, not listening to a woman says no. This comeback feels really different from Bennett's. I felt Bennett's was really manipulative and like not super great, where I felt like Ben wasn't angling to come back. He was angling to get it off his chest that he did have real feelings for her. He does have a reaction to her breaking up with him. It never really felt to me like he expected to be brought back, if that makes sense, or maybe I'm naive. I don't know.
I think he knew it could go either. Yeah, I think he knew it could go either way and was like accepting that, but I think it didn't sit well with him the way he reacted, because it was strange that he kind of just had it was a shocked reaction, but just that he didn't give her much on the way out. And I think he had that revelation that he had that regret that he didn't. So I don't think he wanted to leave without just maybe seeing if it made a difference to reveal his feelings, I guess.
Well, she's already affirmed that she likes when Ben breaks the rules. Like, you know, he came to her room in the middle of the night, and that was like that, like, I think he got the first rose after that, after it had been like not a great group date for him. And we have seen from her that she did put it all on him. Like, you didn't say enough, so I let you go. And then your reaction was bad. So it seems like she was kind of wanting more from him, even when she let him go. So he came back and did give that to her.
Yeah, she was always looking for more from Ben. Yeah. And I just maybe think that their love communication styles don't mesh. So it's probably better off that they aren't ending up together.
Yeah, like I think that she's always said like he doesn't open up enough, where I feel like he's been like drastically vulnerable to the point where he's like, no one in my life knows this, but now the whole world does. And he comes back here and it's so vulnerable because the odds of it working out are pretty low, and he puts himself in that position. So I think that the gift she gave him is to kind of teach him that vulnerability through this that will hopefully like be a really great thing for him for the rest of his life. But I didn't see it as manipulative. I actually thought it was like really beautiful, where it was like, I just want to tell you how I feel. Even no matter how hard it is for me, like, I just want you to know that I care that much about you, that I did say it, and I'm sorry that I didn't. And you've taught me to be vulnerable. That's what I'm taking away from this. So I now need to be vulnerable with you right now.
I'm totally there with you.
Yeah. And I have to think a lot of the reaction was she's thinking she's going to a rose ceremony. She has two guys left because Brendan eliminated himself, and it was just going to be kind of a formality. Mm-hmm. Like, she kind of knows where this is going to go, probably knows that Ivan's, you know, going to be the runner up, but just like, okay, tonight's actually going to be a kind of laid back night. I don't have to say goodbye to anybody. I don't have to hurt anybody. And now it's like, we see her talking to a producer, like, what am I supposed to do with that? And I think a lot of it is that stress of, wait, you know, should this be the time that I say goodbye to Ivan? Should I give him a chance? Should I, you know, and then like, we see her say goodbye and he's asking, like, is it okay if I have a hug? And she still seemed kind of cold, but then she's actually the one that pulls him in for a kiss. And that gives him like tons of confidence going into that rose ceremony.
Can I just say that I hated the kiss? Is that okay? Sure. Like, it felt to me like she was cheating on the others. And I know that sounds weird because we're on The Bachelorette. I just feel like everyone's kind of part of this like consensual polygamous relationship that Ben at that time was not in. This was like a secret thing. And then he comes to the rose ceremony and he's like,
She felt like she was like, oh, why did I do that? Like, it felt like it felt sneaky. Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know how that's possible on The Bachelorette, but I kind of feel like The Bachelorette is a strange thing that you get through with like transparency and like everyone being on the same page, whereas like the other guys did not know this was happening, that she was like kissing a guy that's like not in their like relationship bubble. As much as I love her connection with Ben, and I felt like it was pretty extreme at that moment, I was like, this feels icky and disrespectful to the other guys to me. Those two things were what I didn't like about it. But I kind of feel like she probably assumed her final two would be Zach and then Brendan second. Mm-hmm. Then Brendan's left. Now you're keeping Ivan, someone who you're going to have to tell at a point you're incompatible with based on something he told you a few days ago. Now you have to bring Ben back, who you probably do feel more for than Ivan, but you knew enough a few days ago wasn't going to be your guy. So that's really going to hurt him. I think it was all really murky under this, like, Zach will probably win thing. Someone is eliminating themselves thing. Now someone has a red flag that you can't get past with Ivan thing. Now someone's come back. Like, there was so much messiness in that with the ultimate clean ending of it being Zach, that I think some hearts might have got double broken with her bringing Ben back when, like, it really wasn't going to be him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, introducing him to her parents. And do you think Zach was the front runner for her parents?
I thought they both came off pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think the dad's issue seemed to be more like, I'm scared about you getting engaged at all, more than just one guy.
Valid.
One thing that my mom said that I thought was a really good point, just in how, like, Zach and Ben came across to her parents and in general, was like, Ben had a lot of this, like, puppy love, which was beautiful to watch, but it was like, Tayshia makes me feel so happy. And I think that's amazing considering where he's been quite recently in his own mental health journey. And it's incredible that she makes him feel that way. But, like, Tayshia is amazing. She makes me so happy. It was very much like, what can Tayshia do for me?
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Zach put more like, here's what I'm going to do for her. Like, we're a team. We're a partnership. Like, I will meet the expectations that you, Tayshia's dad, have set for her. Whereas I feel like Ben was a lot of like, yeah, I'm getting so much value out of this. Tayshia's the best person I've ever met. And I felt like that was more like Zach's maturity there and what he could actually give to Tayshia.
Yeah, it did strike me as odd. I definitely picked up on that as well, that it was a lot of like me language, where they would ask like, why Tayshia, or how do you know? And it was, yeah, how she makes me feel. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, but just the comparison against how Zach did on that date. Like, I got weirdly teary when Zach was talking to Tayshia's dad. I was like, wow, I am so impressed right now. Like, it's affecting me, the way he was able to, like, and you could see like her dad getting a little bit emotional, like kind of a gulp in his throat kind of thing when he was talking about like how Tayshia talked about him. And I could see like somebody else saying those things and it being manipulative or something, but it just seemed so genuine from Zach. Like, he understood what Tayshia needed, and he was praising things about Tayshia and why, like, she was the one for him. So it just felt kind of a stark contrast. Haley, what did you think?
Yeah, it does. Zach just felt all the way there. I didn't feel like he was putting anything on. I did feel like it was a more mature love, you know, not one that was kind of grasping for something to hold on to. I don't know. I just, as much as I guess it was obvious that they'd end up together, still just didn't feel obvious to me for whatever reason. Something that was pretty obvious to me is that, Tayshia and her dad had the conversation in her hotel suite, just minutes before she broke up with Ben.
Yeah.
And not after with Zach.
That denim dress is pretty memorable. Like,
at La Quinta, yeah.
Why did they? Because it was so split up. You know, they showed it after the hometown with Zach, right? So I'm trying to like put together when.
Like, why they would do it.
Why didn't they just make her change her outfit so that it wasn't just so obvious that this immediately happened after the conversation with her dad?
Yeah, because we knew when she was like showing up to see Ben, like it just was like clear what was going down. But yeah, that like, I know what I need to do. But yeah, it was so split up in the episode. So it was really strange.
I mean, considering like Zach is so great for her, and that she doesn't even go through with the second date with Ben. Mm-hmm. Like, was it like, as much as we all love Tayshia, like, was it pretty cruel here to bring Ben back?
Yeah.
Knowing the mental health struggles that he's had, knowing that Ivan would be kind of understanding about this kind of reason they can't be together and would probably be maybe a little less heartbroken. I think he felt less, from what I can see, than Ben did as a second place, for example. Like, it hurts my heart for Ben that he came back and he put himself out there and he really went through his fears and was so vulnerable to get like double booted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't really think it was fair to bring him back and then just send him home immediately.
She did it to Bennett. And I honestly didn't feel comfortable when she did it to Bennett, even though Bennett sucks and is the worst. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. But like, she brought him back for the rose ceremony, didn't even have a cocktail party, and then immediately sent him home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why do that to anyone? Like, even Bennett. And then when it's Ben, like, I care a lot more that this guy didn't even get another one-on-one and then was just immediately sent like right back out the door.
Yeah. And kind of that, kind of using the reasoning of, well, we missed out on that time. I feel like if she really felt strongly, I think she could have said, like, okay, if he's coming back, I need an overnight date with him. You know, she could have said, and I think they would have done that. You know, they could have
fire up a caravan.
Yeah, exactly. So, if she wanted to fight for it, she could have.
Yeah, and there's just no way that he's not your husband because you missed out on one date. Like, I know that the fantasy suites are important. As you said, it's something she probably could have done anyway. If he was your person, like, that would have been it. And this is what my, like, consistent issue has been, is that it's like, she took Brendan and probably would have even taken him to the final two. She took him really far when he had doubts the whole time and he was, like, the most on the fence and was scared to propose. Like, she's fine with baggage. She's fine with hang-ups. She's fine with issues. Like, but then it's like, oh, well, you mentioned Claire one time, like, too much for me. Oh, we missed out on this date, too much for me. Like, it's not. Just say, Zach, my heart is with someone else. That's what the line everyone uses. And it kind of breaks my heart to think that Ben is sitting at home thinking, damn, if I'd just been more vulnerable, she wouldn't have sent me home the first time. And then I would have got the date and then we would have had enough time. Like, it's not a timing thing. Like, Zach is your person. So I really didn't like her putting that on Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had seen the talk with the dad and the way she talked about, like, her dad, you know, sitting in the car with her at 3 a.m. crying, and she was wailing, and she kind of said, I know what he's talking about when he's talking about he doesn't want me to be hurt again. Like, it wasn't just like, okay, we saw you go through a divorce. It was, like, really raw, and, like, that kind of just telling her that she doesn't need to do this. She doesn't need to get engaged. You know, we saw on Colton season, he was had the line about you don't need to microwave relationships. So at any point, did you, Haley, did you think that Tayshia might say she didn't want to get engaged or turn down a proposal?
For a second, I thought maybe they'd break up. For a second, I thought maybe they'd just continue day. But then it was all very, like, there was a moment during the proposal or during the final thing where she was like, but, yeah. And then she went into, like, the I love you, and then
it's more than love.
The longest pause,
yeah,
and also screw the preview editors, because the scene of her crying in her nice white dress,
where was that?
Was from her getting proposed to. Like, it was crying with joy. What a-holes.
They just cut out, like, Zach out of the corner. And then did we ever see her dad say, like, why him? Did he ever say that on the episode? Because that was in the previews. I don't remember him saying that at any point.
Oh my God. Manipulative.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she was wearing that denim dress. Then we have Zach's last date. Then we see her break up with Ben. So is that, she said, I'm waking up this morning, I'm feeling very nervous. I know what my heart wants and it's not Ben. She's wearing that same dress as when she talked to her dad. So did her dad talk to her after her date with Zach, or was it before? And was she, like, completely, like, she had broken up with Ben when she was on this last date, and we didn't know that, and he didn't know that.
Interesting.
That would be my guess. Like, if my timeline would be, dad comes and talks to her, don't get hurt, you know, basically he's saying, you know, don't get engaged if you don't have to, because, like, you don't want to be in too deep. She takes that to think, like, okay, I've got to be really clear about my choices. I really have to, like, take this in hand, and breaks up with Ben because she knows what she wants to be clear about it, wants to just kind of follow the path she knows she's meant to be on. The next day, goes on her date with Zach, is flustered because it's like, okay, I'm now with my final guy, like, should I get engaged? And then by the end of the night, he's just placated her so well by, like, saying all the right things. I know people hate that Zach always says the right things, but I just think it's because he's great and, like, is smart and knows what to say. And, like, has made her laugh and kind of shown her that he will always be there to catch her. And that's why by the end, she's so clearly, without any hesitation, I know she's done it before, but just so much like, I love you, Zach Clark. Like, she knows it's her guy. And I think she's kind of found the peace already that night. Ben's already gone home, and the next day they can get engaged. So that would be the timeline I would think happened.
Which would explain, like, kind of how she was so on edge. Like, it was like, when they walked into their date, like, she was like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, it's either this or nothing. And maybe some emotions from saying goodbye to him. I think it would have to be that. So that's interesting, because he really picked up on during their dancing date that she was flustered, nervous, and, like, feeling, like, more heavy about everything.
They're so in tune. I love them so much. Yeah.
And then you mentioned how she said, like, I love you, Zach Clark. Like, she said, like, his full name several times. And I feel like that's a tell. Like, we saw her say that earlier on. Like, she just, like, was smitten with just saying his name, which I thought was really cute.
That is beautiful.
And then, Haley, did you like this? I think of the three dates, this was probably definitely the best. But how did you feel about the private dance class of a traditional wedding dance?
I like these kinds of things. I don't know. After watching a full season of Dancing with the Stars, I was really into it.
I was impressed.
Yeah. It needed more Big Paulie. Like, Big Paulie, I think, should have been... Yeah. Big Paulie, they should find a way for him to be just, like, on every date, I feel. But no, I thought this was really cute and gave them a reason to kind of be connected and, like, physically touching. And I thought this was easily the best date that I saw this week.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to get an ice. Like, what a gift that they gave them.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed with their fantasy suite date is, like, they had the legit fantasy suite. It was, like, something that, like, a second story of a villa. And that really illustrated to me, like, when she was saying goodbye to him on the balcony.
That was so cute.
It was cute. But then I was thinking back, like, how screwed Claire was on her dates. Like, remember, Haley, when she had to do the Romeo Juliet? And it was in, like, a cardboard tower. They actually had a place where they could have done it on the property. And they didn't even, like, scout that location for her. So at least they stepped it up with Tayshia for her dates, you know, since she was interested in more than one guy. But, yeah, I thought this was really sweet. We got to see some, like, real, like, natural kind of struggles where she was just like, no, we're not getting it. And like, everything wasn't picture perfect, but then, like, by the end, they were, like, really proud of themselves. And he also mentioned that it was his 9-year anniversary of sobriety. Mm-hmm. And he was able to reassure her that, so she brought up her fears of, like, someone running away if things change, if she decides, hey, I don't want to conquer the world, I want to stay at home, or, you know. And he said, like, his sobriety is the most important thing in his life, and it's the thing that keeps him from running away. I thought that was really poignant.
Yeah, I mean, talk about grown man, as I've mm-hmm. said, it's not just like an age thing. I think it's just like being at that point in your life where, like, you know yourself so well and you've kind of had a lot of life to live. Like, I do feel like someone like an Ivan, who is obviously a bit younger and also has been through so many things and is so intelligent. But, like, I feel like this was like a part on his journey, I kind of feel like, mm-hmm. whereas someone like Zach, I feel like, has had such an extreme path to get here and kind of should be here with her, and their journey just seems so perfect to me to go forward together. Mm-hmm. I think he said it perfectly. And it was actually kind of beautiful to watch, like, her clear, nervous energy, like, dissipate, because he mm-hmm. placated her that well. Not in a manipulative way, not in, like, a Pied Piper kind of way. Mm-hmm. I think just in, like, a, hey, I'm here, like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, it's you and me. And I think he just did that so perfectly. And after the state, I was like, yep, it's them. Like, yeah. they have to be together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree too with Ivan. It was like he would kind of more follow Tayshia's lead. Like, you could see him kind of just being agreeable with, you know, and he was that step behind, whereas Zach brings different things to the table. And one of the things that she would say is that right away she said, you're different. And I thought it was cute when he said, that's when I knew I had a chance, when you said that the first night, like, okay, I have a chance with this girl. And you're like, you're trouble and you're different is what. And then she kind of brought that up again at the proposal, that, like, you're different. But, you know, that's, like, what she needed. She talked about how she's dated this certain type of guy in California, and she didn't want that. So I think he's totally different than anyone she's dated before, which is a good thing. Haley?
He's probably older than any guy yeah. she's dated before.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Older than anyone that's we've seen on the show in a long time. So yeah. She wouldn't have even had the possibility. I heard somebody talking about, like, if Claire hadn't been the original Bachelorette, then he probably would have never been cast for Tayshia. So no, I don't think, like, if you think about, like, you know, the sliding doors of it all, like, what if this one thing changed? So that's kind of crazy.
What if she got rid? What if Claire just got rid of Zach? Like, oh, I think about that. I feel like I did not know who Zach was on Claire's season, and then the season shifted to being Tayshia's season, and Zach got a confessional. I remember being like, I'm a big believer in second chances, and I was like, this guy's gonna be important. Did not know who you were 5 minutes ago, but clearly you're important to Tayshia. Right. Claire like had way too much of a bigger hand in Tayshia's fate, right, just by the way this all panned out.
Totally. Brendan, nobody knew who that he was. Yeah. Like her whole final four, really. I think Ben was probably who we saw the most with Claire. So, and then Haley, this was a proposal that, like, normally, like, I feel like we don't have a lot to say about the proposals. It's just kind of like, okay, this is, you know, what happens at the end, but we got to see like a lot of it, maybe the whole thing. And it was,
because it was so sweet and so touching. And it felt like a proposal between two people who've known each other for longer than 3.5 weeks. Right. It felt like they really knew each other and we're here for the right reasons, as lame as that sounds. Just the look on Tayshia's face, it was just really, like, it just felt real. It felt real.
Even just her walking up to Chris Harrison, kind of getting emotional there. I feel like Chris even kind of gave it away to Zach when Zach came up. He had a big smile. Normally, he's a little more subdued and stern. And then, yeah, just the specificity of what they could say to each other, I feel like it's something we don't see. Shannon, would you like to wax poetic more about what stood out to you?
I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like the fact that he talked about the gift she gave and his parents being able to see him smile like that kind of harked back to what he's been through. And I think it's just, I know people, maybe some people aren't on board with Zach. Maybe they had other favorites. And believe me, I loved, you know, so many of these guys, hashtag Riley for Bachelor. But I just feel like, how can you be upset when you see like two good people who've really been through it kind of have this very earned fairy tale ending? And before this week started with her final four, I was like, I love them so much that all I care about is that Tayshia has like a very clean, happy ending, that it's not like, oh, she ends up with someone and then goes back to another person and it's kind of messy. Like, I know there's been a lot of that in recent seasons. Like, I just wanted Tayshia to have like the happy ending that she deserved. And for whichever guy she picked to have that happy ending. And now to me, it was so clearly Zach, that I just feel like, speaking about their histories, I feel like they got themselves here based on difficult choices, sometimes brave choices, and to be together. And I just loved it. I loved when they said taxi after. It was
so rom-com.
Like, we have now things that we love about them. Obsessed with this whole thing, just completely obsessed with it.
Yeah. And I thought the setting was so gorgeous. Like the way that they were able to do something in the desert and just make it look totally unique from any other.
Her dress as well. Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, that was so great. Yeah. First time in a while that Haley, that we've been able to feel like, okay, they, they are, you know, in this for the long haul after a proposal.
I get them.
Mm-hmm. Because I know we're probably going to talk about the reality TV, reality Steve spoilers. And like the one thing I had seen was like a pretty snide tweet, I thought, where he was like, be happy about Claire and Dale because it's the only love story you're getting this season. And I was like, kind of, when I'd seen that, I was a bit far along into Tayshia's season. I was like, kind of confused because like so many of these men seem to really love her and she seemed really open in her feelings. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like embarrassed for him of how wrong that was, because I feel like this was like an epic love story, like one for the ages.
Right.
And while Claire and Dale were obviously had a very different thing, it was hard for me to connect to it because it was so extra. Whereas this was, I know it had only been a few weeks, but like, it felt so earned and so real and so genuine. And I just feel really embarrassed for Reality Steve because that's like a terribly wrong spoiler on his bar.
I'm kind of excited because then it's like, okay, that's less likely that we'll get, you know, if anyone, like we inadvertently see something or something, then it's like, okay, I'm excited that he isn't getting everything right.
So wrong.
I asked in our question thread, I asked Alex Wilpon to tell me what Reality Steve said. Alex does this for us every season. She tells, like, she follows along with the spoilers and tells us afterwards what he's saying. So she said, the season has been a little messy. He said it has been difficult to get confirmed info about eliminations and what exactly happened throughout. He did have Zach as the final guy for a long time. However, the original spoiler was not, or was that they didn't get engaged. He didn't know if they were still together or not. He had heard mixed information. He had the final four right and the final two right, but he didn't know exactly what happened from hometowns on. He reported that Brendan self-eliminated, but didn't know exactly when. He knew it had to do with his divorce. He reported that Brendan had been Tayshia's front runner and that Tayshia was very upset when he left. At some point, he did get clear info that Ben was eliminated at hometowns and Brendan left during fantasy suites. For a while, he thought that meant Ben being in the final two spoiler was wrong. Eventually, he found out that Ben comes back. He didn't really know what was going on with Tayshia and Zach. At some point, he reported a rumor, called it a rumor, and that he had no idea if it was correct, that they had broken up post-show and she had started to date Brendan again. Oh. Over the last couple days, he said he finally got some confirmed info that there had actually been an engagement between Tayshia and Zach and that they were still together. I wonder if being at the rewards the whole time really was able to keep... keep a lid on some spoilers because they're not flying everywhere. They don't have people flying home.
They don't have, just the randoms watching and seeing, like, in a country concert or at a theme park or anything.
Yeah, usually he's getting, like, live spoilers, right? Like, as it's happening because, like, they're at this concert or something, or here they are at this person's hometown. Whereas, like, that is another really good part of it being all contained, is that it makes spoilers clearly harder. But I feel like the top four to me was set pretty early on, and I feel like those aren't spoilers from reality TV. Like, that's like getting a dartboard with the clear final four and just starting to just like throw darts at it around. Oh, now Zach won. Oh, now she's with Brendan. Like, you named all of the final four at a point. Like, right. That's not spoilers.
Right. Yeah. With just editing, you can kind of determine like who's making it far, with just who got one-on-ones at this point, for this season, since there was only so many to go around. Well, Haley, we did have our little minimal draft that we threw together. Shockingly, I didn't feel good about my Zach pick, but that helped me to win our little mini draft. George at George CTV says, RJP recapper pulled away the final week, winning the draft this season with 144 points. Zach doubled his point total for the week. I also had Ben, so I don't know how those points came back, but honorable mention to HStrong_ for hanging close all season, only down 15 going into last week, ending with 95. So I don't think this really counts.
Did you
draw official...
for Tayshia or for Claire?
We did for Tayshia, but it was like after we'd already seen her first episode.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like we had some info on who was getting the screen time. So I had...
But we only picked three people
We only picked three. We're just like, let's do an informal, but of course, George stepped up to the plate. I picked Spencer. Yeah, I thought.
Yeah, like Spencer went like. Pick. I feel like we never saw him again after he got that first rose. Wasn't that weird?
That was really weird. Yeah.
So maybe he wasn't religious. Like, now that we know, that was really important. I feel like we should have known this earlier. Like, that she had this really valid disqualifier.
Right, and I didn't see Zach saying anything about religion either. We'll have to assume that he is, but that is surprising.
He did say, like, I'm meant to be here. I was meant to be here. Like, that shows faith at least, which I think maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but it could be more spiritual or like the manifesting. I know, you know, he is in recovery, so usually there is like a higher power component to that. People can kind of decide, I think, what God represents, but that it can be a factor. So it's interesting. But Haley had Brendan, Ivan, and Noah. I had Spencer, Ben, and Zach was my third pick. So, yeah, I think...
Wow. Yeah. That's what almost ruined you, but they had the final two.
I know. All right. So let's get into some more questions. We did have, I feel like we may have touched on this, but let's see if we have anything else to add here. But Ava Pickett wants to know, she says, I feel like I'm missing something on Zach. Amy and Haley and Shannon, help a girl understand. Am I just too hung up on Brendan, Ben, and Ivan? Was I not paying attention when they showed us how great Zach is? I don't want to use the B word, but what am I missing about what makes Zach so great? Anything else we can chime in on? Because I feel like I was late to the party on him.
It seems like he did eventually win a lot of people over when he'd been quite polarizing before. I was connected from their one-on-one. I mean, this guy starts opening up about a brain tumor. The next day he's being operated on. Like, just hearing what he'd gone through, I was like, wow, to be standing here today, putting yourself out there, like, you must be pretty special. And then to become like an addiction specialist and to be helping other people, like, that shows like a lot of character. So I just loved him as a person anyway. But I definitely see what it's like to be hung up on the other guys, because they're also all fantastic. Like, what an incredible final group that Tayshia chose. I just, I just see it. So much of the season was about finding a grown man. Like, she found it. So that's what I see.
Will Harrington, now that the season is over, where does Tayshia rank as a lead? I think she's one of the best bachelorettes and leads overall of all time. I think I would have to agree. Mm-hmm. Haley, where are you seeing it?
I would say she ranks pretty high up. I think we really enjoyed Hannah Brown's season last year because it was so messy. But I think we really enjoyed this season because it wasn't messy, because Tayshia had her shit together. These guys had their shit together. It didn't feel like we were rooting against anyone in the final five and final six. It just felt good. Like, it felt like you were actually watching some love stories.
Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, like, why was she not first pick? Like, I know that Claire has a really long history with the show, to the point where even I watched Juan Pablo season way back.
I think we know why. And I think that reason is, you know, systemic racism within this franchise. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget Mike Fleiss tweeting or mentioning that Rachel's... oh God, were they called? You know, what's it called when you watch TV?
Ratings?
Oh, yeah. Rachel's ratings were significantly lower than anyone else's. So I think they were afraid to have a black woman lead the show again. And I don't even want to say it's taking a risk, because I don't think you're taking a risk with Tayshia. She's so brilliant. I think she should have been chosen last year. I think she should have been chosen right off the bat this year. Whichever way, I'm glad we finally got her. I thought she was brilliant as a bachelorette. I think she did have some flaws, but that's just human. I'm tired of seeing the bachelorette or the bachelor presented in this light that they're perfect and they're like this amazing prize or whatever. Like, I liked how Tayshia was honest with people, or how she wasn't honest with people, or, you know, it just like the ebbs and flows of it.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, every lead is going to have some issues struggling with this impossible situation. I think some more than others. I think Tayshia was largely, besides, I think, putting it on the guys a lot, like, she went out of her way to have these individual conversations, which I thought was really respectful, even if sometimes I didn't completely agree with the content of the conversations. I think that there were so many things I thought made her a great bachelorette. I think they said she brings out the best in people. And as much as we love these guys, is one of the reasons we love them, A, great casting, and B, that she brought out the best in them to kind of have us feel that strongly about them. And then the third thing I would say is that they say that she kind of glows and lights up a room, and you could see it. Like, it permeated through the screen. She was this, like, dynamic person, but it was more than that. Like, she really did have this aura, to the point where when she walked in and these guys had really been through it with Claire, their jaws dropped. They were falling in love with her left, right, and center. And even though it was a short amount of time, which is what was damning in the Australian version, it was a very short season, and, like, none of the guys could really get there because it was just weeks. These guys had probably a similar amount of time, and it didn't matter. Like, people were in love with Evie, who came, like, 12th, was, like, in love with her. Mm-hmm. Dennis, I mean, he's manipulative, but he said he loved her. Like, Riley said he couldn't get out of bed for a week. Like, the effect she had on these men, I believe it. She had that glow. Like, I totally buy it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So hopefully they learn something from that.
Dynamic people.
Yes.
No matter. Yeah, like, come on.
Exactly.
It's just terrible that she had to have Claire leave to be the bachelorette and then was so good at it.
Billy Westcott says, disappointed and no after the final rose. Was really hoping to hear from Brendan, Ivan, and Ben. I would agree. That was the one thing of all these things that were kind of tightened up, shortened, changed a little bit, or missing. This was one thing I did miss. I just kind of look forward to that kind of extra hour. Usually I don't want that extra hour on the TV, but just, like, kind of where you're like, okay, we saw what happened, but really, like, where are they now? And how, like, let me judge when I see them, like, interact. But obviously we couldn't do a typical after the final rose. So, Shannon, what do you think? Do you think, like, it was good how it ended, or we could have done some kind of Zoom catch up?
Well, they could have done a Zoom catch up. Obviously, if it's not logistically possible to do an after the final rose, and they can't really do that. But I think the proposal was so beautiful that it was kind of like a wonderful way to end it. And because there wasn't really probably much to add, I mean, they are still together. So it's not like they have to come back and be like, I'm with Brendan now, in which case it would be like a plot point that she would need to come back and talk about it. That was their ending, to the point where my mom and I were like, kind of hating the Matt James teaser. Mm. And we were like, we were crying at the proposal. And then we got this like kind of trashy looking teaser.
Yeah.
And it made it really ugly.
It doesn't fill me with the same sort of joy, no. I think, that no. we just went through.
I'm already getting like a
love. And then like they were, yeah. Like, it was just so trashy to the point where I'm like, I was kind of just assuming I'd roll on. And now I guess due to lockdown, I'm just like a Bachelor fan again and I'd watch it. And I probably still will. But I was like, this makes me not want to watch. Like, if you had said nothing, I'd be more likely to watch than this teaser.
Yeah, the shot of him, like, looking at a ring box in the woods, like, it gave me, like, flashbacks to Colton, like, holding a ring that never showed up. And I'm like, oh, no, it's going to be, like, another, like, Pilot Pete season with just all this drama of, like, the 22-year-olds, you know? So, that was kind of glaring. So maybe it would have been better to have some kind of like sweet catch up that we had to go to Instagram to find. But Billy Westcott also says, aside from that, this may have been my favorite proposal in Bachelor Nation history. What do you think would top this? And then Will Harrington also says, was that the greatest proposal in the history of the show? I can't think of a better one off the top of my head.
I think that was my favorite. And I don't know if it's just recency bias, but it did feel like super deep and honest, and it went on forever, and it was really nice, and they were clearly very both into it, and it just made me smile and also cry at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, like with Matt James, I think it's interesting that we were given kind of both sides of the spectrum in this one season. Like we saw like very real, genuine things, maybe like less like jaw dropping, headline making entertainment in Tayshia's season. Like it wasn't like, you know, now she's dumped Zach. Like it was very real and kind of just kind of heartwarming. And then we also had the Claire stuff, which though she ended up with the person that she wanted to, it was jaw dropping. Like it was trashy in that it was like, now she's making out with Dale for the second time tonight. Like all the guys have been sitting here for 40 minutes. Like it was genuinely jaw dropping. And I did love it. Like it was crazy. And then she got engaged to him after 9 days or whatever it was. Like it was crazy. And it was incredible television. It is what drew me in to begin with. But like looking back at it now, I think I enjoyed the heartwarming season more. Like I'd rather invest in people I really like and care about, I guess, than just be like, wow, this is so entertainingly trashy. But like, I do need to take a shower after I watched it.
For sure. Yeah, I liked investing in more than one contestant and kind of following these different trajectories that it could have gone. I agree with Billy that I would have liked to have heard from Brendan, Ivan, and Ben, but they are doing different podcast interviews across the Bachelor franchise podcasts or Bachelor adjacent podcasts. So I think you get to hear more like kind of unfiltered thoughts that way. So check those out. Felipe Shimon says, I'm big mad we don't get Ivan or Riley as Bachelor because they picked preseason some random that isn't even likable. So speaking of the Matt James trailer, where do you think they would have gone if this season had, let's say Matt James was on the season or Claire eliminated him? If we're just judging off of Tayshia's season, who do you think would be in that Bachelor role?
Ivan, I think.
I would hope
Ivan's
so.
Ivan's a little quiet. I mean, yes. I feel like the Tayshia's last five guys weren't like typical Bachelor material, I feel, which I think just speaks to Tayshia being able to see like the real like quality in someone and to, you know, go out and find that and choose that. I assume, right? To me, I count Riley as top five. I love Riley. Mm-hmm. I think he's such a quality person. I think Ivan as well. Ben, like all these guys are such quality, but at the same time, it's like, would the show look at them like Bachelor material? Whereas like,
or Brendan
Matt James
too.
Is
so
like,
quiet.
They have a bit more of like this quiet kind of beauty to them compared to like Matt James, who does really seem like a leading man, could literally be an action figure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's more the direction they want to go. I think they're missing out on some value here. with some of her final guys, but I don't know enough about Matt James, so I'm willing to give him a chance, but I don't even know if they would have gone in a different direction. Like, weren't they priming Matt James this whole time to be the Bachelor?
Yeah.
Seemed like it, yeah. Let's see, let me pull up the second part of our questions.
I can't even imagine these guys on, like, Bachelor in Paradise. Like, imagine they're, if it'd been, like,
good a for it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like, they're too good for that trashy show. Don't you think?
I've already heard, like, Joe, who people are, like, really wanting to be on Bachelor in Paradise, saying, like, I hope I wouldn't be on it because I hope to find someone before then. And Brendan was like, I don't know if that's for me. So
I love these men. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, if this had been a regular schedule and the Bachelorette had been on, and then, like, they go out, like, 2 months later, the Bachelor in Paradise, like, how would they have done that? These men were so in love. I feel like they would not have been able to handle it.
Mike Doskus has, he's blowing my mind here with another theory. I thought she was saying Zach Clark just because she was, like, so smitten. But he says, does Tayshia refer to him by his full name, Zach Clark, because she used to date John Paul Jones? Is this a dig to John Paul Jones? We just need Zach's middle name, right? I wonder if that flows off the tongue. Ava Pickett, I can't stop thinking about Brendan leaving. Do you think he was a front runner? And if he had stayed, would Tayshia have chosen him in the end? So we did get into that.
I'm starting to feel like no.
Yeah.
I've been talked into no by Shannon.
Seems like second place.
How did you cry more for Blake? I hated police reaction, but, like, you really did cry more for Blake. Who was even Blake?
Yeah.
Like, I saw one conversation between them before that day.
Right. Lisa Buzzforth, I really hope the success of this season will lead to casting older and more diverse contestants in the future. It was so refreshing to see real conversations by people who have lived different lives. Judging by the preview for Matt's season, do you think this trend will continue, or will the show revert back to the usual manufactured drama? Are you looking forward to the new season? Well, it sounds like, yeah, there's going to be an escort on the new season. Like, that was one of the, just, I think, going back to the drama, yeah,
like,
unfortunately.
How exploit that? Like, how are they going to exploit the drama? The preview was actively bad.
Mm-hmm. it felt like Temptation Island.
It honestly felt like watching, you know, Tayshia and Zach ride off into the sunset in their Flintstones taxi, and then watching another car drive by and just crash into the mountain. You were like, oh, I didn't realize we were watching that car crash next to this beautiful love story. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it'll be great, and I probably will give it a chance, but I was like, you just watch something real. Like, what are you even doing right now?
Yeah. Hopefully that's, like, maybe the first 2 weeks, and then we can get out of that. Because it is a larger cast. I think, you know, they can start out with the traditional, like, 30 people. So maybe.
I do think as well, like, in terms of length, I feel that there's often, like, a little bit of a dip in my interest in these seasons, where it's like, it starts off and you're like, they're getting to know people, which is cool, and the premiere is always interesting, and then by the end, when the feelings are a lot, I'm back on board. But, like, the middle bit's a bit like, maybe when she's going on dates with people who are clearly not relevant, kind of meanders a little bit. And I feel like this season was, like, perfect timing. Like, you got 4 episodes of, like, the insane Claire journey, and then they kind of, like, minimized that middle part, where it was, like, all very consistently interesting to me. So I feel like it worked out. Maybe, like, every season should have someone fall in love in 9 days to get that over with, and we, like, bring someone else in.
Yeah. I don't need those, like, group dates in the middle where we already know, like, who the top 6 are, and it's just like, okay, let's fast forward this a little bit.
The Blakes.
Totally. Justin Feinberg says, I completely forgot The Bachelorette was on Monday night, so I spent Tuesday night watching 4 consecutive hours of The Bachelorette. On a scale of 1 to 10, of negative 10 to 0, please rank my life choice.
I'd say negative 3, because they were 2 pretty good episodes.
Yeah, not too bad.
That sounds like a good time.
Justin Feinberg, was Ben really the last person Tayshia expected to see knock on her door? Would it have been more unexpected had Dr. Joe, the anesthesiologist, knocked on her door and professed his love instead?
I'd say probably, or maybe even like band manager Kenny.
Right.
If he knocked on her door, I'd be like, "Why? What are you doing here? We didn't ask you for this."
I guess I feel like, might have been the most likely person to have knocked on her door. Yeah. I can't imagine an extra person.
Yeah, I guess she was probably thinking it was Brendan, do you think? She had to
possibly
guess.
Brendan. Yeah. I mean, that was like the day before. Imagine being like, I gotta go, and then coming back being like, yeah, I know I self-eliminated, but
right.
before even the rose ceremony, I've actually changed my mind.
Yeah,
I would just turn him away right then. But also, I love the joke when her dad knocked on her door and she was like, what now?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was cute too with her dad, like when they're meeting and he was like, well, you know, you don't have to do this. And she's like, yeah, dad, we get it. You know, she kind of was just like joking with him before that. Why didn't she just look out the like peephole to see who it was? Like, is she not allowed? There was no duct tape over it or anything. And she was like,
yeah,
working with the producers, I guess. But
I always love that. Oh my gosh, you've arrived in the middle of the night. I'm mic'd up for no yeah. reason and in clothes. I was not expecting this. Like, I know yeah. that it's all fabricated drama, but I always find that so funny.
Yeah. I guess, like, there was a possibility, though, that Brendan could have come back because when he was in the limo leaving, or the whatever it was, vehicle, he said, like, Tayshia hadn't expressed, like, that she could see a future with him. Like, that was the first time he was kind of hearing it on his way out. So that really sort of, like, he didn't say, like, that makes me want her back or anything, but it just made it harder that I think he maybe had more doubts in how she was feeling. And we've seen that kind of be a curse, Haley, with like the person who gets that first one-on-one date. We didn't see it play out in the traditional way, but it did sort of, you know, fade out.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said earlier, like burn hot and fast and then die out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That confused me the most, I think, was her saying, I saw myself at the end with Brendan. Like, she had also said, I could see myself with any of these guys. And she'd yeah. also said to Zach, I love you and I've never felt this way before. And she said it to his face. So I kind of took that yeah. as more merit than her being like, I've been thinking it would be Brendan. Because I kind of thought that was more like, I pictured it pretty much since the beginning. Like, I could picture it, but I'm not like locked into it.
Right.
But that was the most that it seemed like she was quite set on Brendan from what we saw.
Right. All right, well, that's
when you're saying to someone, I've never felt like this before, and they're in a competition with several other men currently, I feel like that's a really good sign.
Yeah, no wonder he was so confident, right? And then there was yeah. another comment she made where she's like, I don't know what it is about me and a little bit of swag, but Zach has it. So she just, you know, there's something about like his swagger that she just really drew.
She loves the high tops.
Yeah. So do we know, like, is she still in California? Is he still in New York? She wanted to go to New York.
She said they're bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal. All right.
Yeah.
Exciting. All right. Well, that's it for questions. Anything more either of you want to weigh in on?
I don't have anything else, but Doug certainly does.
All right. Your friend Doug has some takes.
He said, do you think they eliminated Ivan early just so they could put on a different outfit and return as the ballroom dance instructor? No, he looks like her brother. He returned as her brother.
Desmond
also, how did Ethan rate the ballroom dance since he is now an expert judge from watching Dancing with the Stars? He was a little harsh on them. Gotta say.
It was a wedding dance. What is more like useful? Salsa or whatever.
Yeah. True. What is more useless and old-timey that clearly does not open the Airstream trailer the producers grab from the dump, or bringing on a guy who looks like a cast member from The Sopranos to commentate on an ice kissing contest?
Hey, that's Big Paulie. You can't talk about Big Paulie like that. Iconic. He was born on a glacier and he was an orphan boy. I love Chris Harrison said that to him with no context. What am I watching?
Was it just me, or did the outside of Tayshia's suite look more like a change room at the beach than a luxury accommodation? On that note, I'm pretty sure Zach and Tayshia's fantasy suite was in Bennett's room. Ooh, good call. Do you think Whoa. Bennett had a two-floor suite?
Could have.
It's possible.
I wouldn't want that as, like, I don't know. Bad juju, I feel like, if it was.
Lastly, oh wait, if you were Tayshia's dad and you could DM Chris Harrison one question, what would it be?
Ooh.
Oh, well, that's a great question. I would ask him, who's your favorite bachelor and who's your favorite, like, least favorite bachelor, and you can't answer Juan Pablo.
You can't answer Ben Higgins as your favorite.
No, yeah, and I'd be like, I wouldn't tell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was cute to have Chris walk in, meet the family. I've said it before, but I think Chris is just like really enjoying not having to travel around. I guess he can travel enough on his downtime, right? So eventually, hopefully again.
But, and he left.
Yeah, he got to leave too.
He literally left.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something else that connects to Australian Bachelorette.
Yeah.
So Osher, the host, could not make it to do the entire season because he got locked down in Melbourne. So doing the mask singer, which had an outbreak, and anyway, it was good they were wearing masks. That's the joke. Anyway, so do you know who they replaced him with?
Oh. Who?
A hologram version of himself, basically.
No.
Okay, no, it's not really like that. But what it was that because they'd have the two bachelorettes, they basically had no host. The bachelorettes would be like, this is what we're doing today. But then for the rose ceremony, they would have like a shot of the guys looking at Osher, who was edited in later to be like, there are four roses left. They just like edited him in post. And it took me way too long to realize that.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it shows how important these hosts are. Bachelor not at all.
Canada does that a little bit, Haley, where like the host isn't there on some of the travel dates. They just kind of say, here's what we're doing today. So it can work. Tayshia kind of did that this season too. Like with the ice bath, she like introduced it and then Chris sauntered in like, yeah, you guys, here's the world record. And she's like, yeah, I already said it, basically.
In the future, they should replace Chris if they need to with Big Paulie.
Oh, that's a good one.
I do love that idea.
JoJo didn't have a lot to do. Like she came in one time being like, there's one rose left. And I was like, can you just stay put for a second, like I want to analyze your dress and like feet. Like she just left and I was like, bye JoJo. Because she didn't have a lot to do as the host.
Yeah, and it was weird that she came back to like have another chat with Tayshia. It seemed like,
and yet they still chose Big Paulie to be the ice guy on that same day.
Yeah,
make it make sense.
At what point will they have to like create like a whole supporting cast if they have to stay in these like quarantine locations, stay in one set? Like Haley, are they gonna have like the old couple that they hire that just
like they're gonna have to have like a quarantine pod of people that like the usual hits?
Yeah. The ex of somebody has to be like quarantining. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, at least for we can see kind of what changes. I am curious to see kind of what changes they make with Matt James' season. Looks like they've invested a lot more with the dates already. So it's a new setting. So we won't feel like we're back in La Quinta. And, you know, maybe the sounds like there's going to be a paradise. Like they've seems like they have something figured out for this season that they were able to film. So I have to think that they would figure out a place to do that if they can go to Mexico or somewhere else. I feel like they could do it at La Quinta easily.
Paradise isn't even something where they travel. So like, I feel like that would be the easiest to do.
Definitely. All right. Shannon, anything else that you'd like to weigh in on this season or just let people know where else they can find you?
Yeah, no, I'm really happy that you guys invited me on. Thank you very much. I love getting a chance to kind of talk about the season after being way too invested in it. And this is the fifth dating show I've watched in the second half of the year, mostly in lockdown. So maybe I need to take a step back. Some of them are great. This was the best one.
Right,
some of them are really, really bad.
So Bachelor Australia, Bachelorette Australia, Bachelorette,
Bachelor
what else?
Bachelor in Paradise Australia, this, and Farmer Wants a Wife, which was really bad.
Oh my God.
Really, really bad. So I'm also looking back at my life choices.
Amy and I not only did we watch it, we podcasted about Labor of Love this summer, and I don't know if we can get any lower than that.
That's true. You guys are worse. That's a lot. Yeah. I saw one episode of that. It wasn't good, and I didn't feel it was very good.
We watched all of it.
Yeah,
we podcasted about every episode.
And they didn't stay together. They didn't have a kid.
Yeah,
they didn't even like do the check-in.
Because they weren't together anymore.
But like you did every single episode of Labor of Love.
Yeah.
I feel better about myself. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And not all of the episodes got their own podcast. Like we did combine some of them with the Bachelor Greatest of All Times. Not only that, we covered like old seasons of The Bachelor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Survivors were struggling for the off-season content, but The Bachelor may have had it harder. Were the season summaries good? Like the old, was that entertaining or was it not good?
We had a good time. Mm-hmm. But again, we had so little going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think
I watched on Instagram people watching their own seasons back. That's how I watched The Greatest of All Time. Fascinating.
Yep. Yeah. That works. I think, I mean, if anything, we could have seen Chris Harrison sitting in his office with his son filming and he could have connected to Zach and Tayshia that way, right? Like maybe on that season he'll do it. Maybe on their Women Tell All, I would like to get a Zach and Tayshia segment. They deserve something to kind of say, hey, we're still doing good at some point. But
I'm going to look for interviews. I follow them now, both on Instagram. So
yeah,
I liked both of their photos, and then I commented on Zach saying, I love your love story. Aww. So maybe I am. I'm so invested.
Everybody, if you've made it this far, scroll through the comments and give Shannon's comment a like.
I'm so embarrassed that I did that, but I'm also like, I love your love story so much. It's beautiful. You guys mean something to me. No, you can follow me at Shannon Gaitz, G-A-I-T-Z, on Instagram and on Twitter. I've been podcasting a little bit this week. We did, I was on, PSR Theater with Josh Wigler and Emily Fox, which is a patron podcast talking about Love Actually, which was a very, very fun podcast. We killed some characters off. We did some rewrites. It was, I think we made a better movie than what we made the movie that we deserved, I think. And then yesterday, which it's already out, Mike Bloom and I spoke to Leroux Botha, who's a series director of Survivor South Africa, to get his insight on, you know, he just came back from filming the 8th season of the franchise. It's the first English speaking season to make filming work locally during COVID in 2020. So yeah, even if you're not a Survivor South Africa fan, I feel like maybe just check that out because it's fascinating how they got it done. Like it's genuinely, I feel like, globally resonant to the Survivor community that this happened and how. So I definitely suggest checking that out. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I had so much fun chatting to you again, and none of us were cursed.
Yes,
knock on wood, Shannon.
So not great yet. Having
we,
you.
We got through the podcast without any of us being cursed to this point.
That's good news. Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. Check out my blog, strongtakes.ca. That's been kind of dormant lately, but yeah, maybe I'll get back into it. We'll see. Or maybe I have something else on the horizon. Who knows?
Ooh, leaving us with a little mystery here. You can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper, and we won't be gone for long because Matt James' season is premiering January 4th, and I think we're going to do a draft. We will find a way to do a draft before then.
We have a week and a half to do it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll
talk
it
offline,
out.
Right, Haley?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It was a great season to go through with you guys, and we'll be back soon. Bye.